We've been studying in the afternoon a book by David Murray called The Happy Christian. We've come to chapter number 5, which is called Happy Future, which has to do with how what we think about, especially about our past and our future, influences our demeanor and influences your happiness today. Murray's basic thesis on this point is that we do have a lot to look forward to, and because of this, learning how to think about the future will bring much happiness to your life. And this influences not only the way you look forward to your future, but this will also have to do with the way you consider the past. In fact, this chapter, Murray, talks about the way we think about the past and the way we think about the future, and divides it up into those two sections. And I'm going to just take one of those today. I'm going to think especially about how we think about the past, and leave for next week the opportunity to talk about the way our happy future influences our happiness today. Thinking about the past can bring a lot of happiness to us. You can think back to a lot of pleasant things that God has brought into your life, but it can also be a little bit of a quagmire of sadness as well. Because there are a lot of hardships that you and I go throughout all of our lives. There can be sadness that's brought into your life because of mistakes that you've made. There can be sadness because of sins that you've committed. There can be sadness because of sins that have been committed against you. There can be bad decisions, there can be bitterness, or a variety of ways that we can get bound up into a wrong thinking about the past. And instead, based on who we are in Christ, we have the opportunity to look back and have a very healthy and blessed use of thinking about what God has done in the past. In fact, Murray just goes down and has several subpoints about biblical history, church history, world history, and personal history as being reasons for you to give thanks to God. So some of these are fairly obvious. When you think about biblical history, what things can you meditate on that bring you happiness?
God's covenant faithfulness.
Sure, yeah. It's Jesus, right? His faithfulness to send Jesus to redeem you from your sins. That's what the Bible's all about. So just the whole sense of learning to read your Bible and meditating on what God has done for you is something that brings joy, brings happiness to your life. God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you. What about church history? How is it that meditating on church history can be healthy and happy? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Good. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, we don't try to... You know what a Pollyanna is? So, there's a visceral reaction back there. we don't paint a smile on everything and say, oh, everything's a bed of roses because we're Christians. No, there has been, there is, there will be persecution. There are bad things that happen. But in the midst of that, we can also take note of the mighty acts of God in history. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's a testimony that they bear in prosperity or in death. All of that is a testimony to us that we can look back and praise God for. There's a set of books called The Mighty Acts of God in History and the Founding of America that's... I should have written down the authors, just escaped my memory.
Cotton Mather,
thank you. Yeah. So here's an exercise in that very thing, looking at the mighty acts of God in history. How about world history? I started by talking about church history, but what about world history?
God's providence has preserved all nations.
Yeah. We think too narrowly if we think God is only has his hands on the church and nothing else. No, God has his hands on all of church history and is directing all things. It comes through just in that wonderful phrase that when it says that Jesus was born at the proper time, that God is orchestrating all of human history for his own purposes. What about personal history? Has God worked in your life?
I met my wife.
Amen. Remember it. Tell stories about it. Make sure your children know how you and your wife or your husband met and the goodness of God that is in your life. Make sure that they know those stories about how he provided that job for you just when you needed it, or that scholarship for you just when you weren't sure exactly where you were going to fund this project, or on and on again. Tell those stories. Remember those past experiences. Let's turn to Psalm 40. I'd like to look at Psalm 40 briefly. A volunteer read verses 1 through 3, and then another volunteer to read verses 4 and 5. Jeff, 1 through 3.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God, and you will see it in fear, and will trust in the Lord.
And before we go on to the next two verses, just think about how this is a reflection of God's goodness. It's a personal reflection of deliverance. He lifted me up out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock and established my way. And David recounts this so that his personal reflection on that history would become ours. We rejoice with David in what he had done, and we do the same thing when we remember God's dealings with us in the past. Now someone read verses 4 and 5. Sam?
Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, that they are more than can be told.
So David does something here. He first tells God just how great his works are and how numerous they are. And then he vows that he will speak of those to coming generations. And he will tell of this past that he's experienced. And there's a use of the past that David makes that influences his outlook on life. he covenants to tell the good things that God has done for him. And I would challenge you to do that, and exhort you to do that, to mentally, and if you're a journaling person, to journal this. Don't put it on Facebook. This is for you. But then covenant to speak of those things within your family, and to remember how God has been good to you. Does anybody know what the stone Ebenezer is? Amy, what's the Ebenezer? Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. And that wasn't the only time the Israelites piled up stones to remember God's goodness. So remember. That's a good use of the past. Let me briefly warn against dangerous or damaging uses of the past. Here again, Murray calls attention to several categories that I found very helpful, that there is a dwelling on these certain subjects or these categories that is very damaging to you spiritually and will rob you of your joy. Dwelling on sin. Satan is called the accuser. You've heard me before call your attention to Zechariah chapter 3. It's a striking vision that shows Satan at the accusing Joshua the high priest before the throne of God. And I've always been struck by that because his accusations stick, because we are filthy and we are sinners. But God's action was to cleanse, and God's action was to send Christ. When we dwell on the accusations and when we dwell on the reality of sin and don't progress to grace and forgiveness, then you will be miserable because of that dwelling on sin. Dwelling on injustice. And we are surrounded by injustice. Jeff, I really appreciate your prayer this morning that we live in a time where there is much confusing injustice right now. And it's right for us to call out to God and to pray for that. You can become consumed by that, though, and consumed in a way that does not lead to prayers like we've had this morning and today. If you just dwell on the injustice, the world becomes a very brutal and inhumane place. David Murray cites Psalm 73 as an example of this, and I'll encourage you to read Psalm 73 because it gives voice to the complaint about that injustice, but it doesn't stop there. It progresses on, and in fact, it progresses on into the happy future that we have, that all that I have in heaven is you, and that's all that I want. You will be my guide even through death itself. So it doesn't just rest, or the injustice doesn't take roost, we might say. It instead is seen in the light of our worship. Dwelling on past failures. We have sinned. We have failed. We've made plans that were poor plans. We've made bad decisions. We've missed opportunities. And dwelling on those is to think ill of God's providences and to think ill of what God has designed and is bringing out in your life. in his providence. We can look back even on failures and say, yes, God walked with me through those things and has brought confession and repentance and change of heart. He also cites bereavement, that valley of the shadow of death, and finally nostalgia. I thought I'd just draw out nostalgia a little bit. What does it mean to be nostalgic?
To say the past is better than the future.
It's good to remember the good things of the past, but to pine for them and to long for them as if what you have now is sour and bitter. Nostalgia can really poison your opinion of today. For the glory days. Before Kevin Durant left the Thunder. No. For the glory days. To pine for those glory days. And the present becomes very bitter. I've made it sound kind of funny, but it's not. Here's another case where it's not all that funny. It can really dampen the joy that you have in the Lord. I'll encourage you to read Psalm 73 and to be thinking forward to the happy future that we have, and that will be my next subject. Come to the end of our time, but I'd like to solicit your prayer requests, and we will take those home with us and pray for them this week. What are your prayer requests? Meg?